Paul on Mars Hill said this in Acts 17:26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. See, today when you call for border enforcement, the religious left says you're not Christian. But if I'm understanding the Bible correctly, I think borders and nations is actually the design of God. I'm seeing that largely in what he did here at the Tower of Babel. Many, many verses in the millennial kingdom tell us that Jesus is going to rule over the nations. Isaiah 2:4 and others. I have them on the screen there. And what's interesting is this doctrine of nations even continues on into the eternal state. So it's almost as if the precedent that was set at the Tower of Babel is something that God considered to be a permanent precedent in the sense of decentralization of power through the creation of multiple nations. Revelation 21 and verse 24 says of the eternal state, the nations, plural, will walk by its light. The kings of the earth, plural, will bring their glory into it. Zechariah 14:16 through 18 talks about the nations not wanting to worship Jesus in the millennial kingdom. So apparently nations and borders are a big deal to God, and I think it relates to the corruptibility of human nature. Does God have an opinion on world government? Yes, God is opposed to world government, unless he and his son Jesus are ruling over it. So that takes us to Roman numeral 2. God has his goal, and what does Satan have? Satan has his goal. If God wants A, Satan wants B. If God wants right, Satan wants left. God wants left, Satan wants right. If God wants white, Satan wants black. If God wants black, Satan wants white. I mean, Satan is always going to be the adversary and do the opposite. So Satan's goal is the opposite of God, and it's simply this. Looks like we're going to have another global flood as we speak. And let me know if you guys can't hear me anymore because of the competition. Satan's goal is to subvert the divine ordering of nations at Babel and bring control of the world back under one man. Satan's goal is to erase the doctrine of nations and reinstitute the Tower of Babel. The project Satan started at Babel, which was interrupted, he wants to complete one day. And this is where history is headed. As Christians, what we believe is that history is linear. Linear history means God is headed, history rather, is headed in a certain direction. So our view of history is not that it's an accident, not that it's coincidence, not that it's random. It's that things happen in a linear direction. And since we are living in Satan's territory, we see Satan's goal of bringing back the Tower of Babel and reinstituting one world government and erasing the precedent that God established at Babel, or Babel, the doctrine of nations. And when does Satan achieve this goal? Take a look, if you could, at Daniel 7 and verse 23. The Bible tells us. Daniel 7 and verse 23 is a description of the final form of government that will exist just before the second advent. And this is what it says. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. You'll notice that this 10-king, 10-nation confederacy is really something that may start in Europe, but its end goal is not just Europe. The Bible is very clear that it's going to devour the whole earth. It is a prophecy about one world government, the final form of Gentile government before the second advent. Not necessarily the rapture, but before the second advent. Notice, if you will, Revelation 13 and verses 7 and 8. The book of Revelation chapter 13 in verses 7 and 8. You have another description of this one world system. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe, people, and tongue, and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. The Antichrist's kingdom is going to subdue all or every, three nouns, four nouns, tribe, people, tongue, and nation. In fact, those four nouns are almost the same ones used in Revelation 5:9 to describe those for whom Christ died. Did Christ die for the whole world? Yes, he did. Well, if Christ died for the whole world, and those nouns in Revelation 5 and verse 9 are used to describe everyone for whom Christ died, then by consistency, the empire of the Antichrist is going to gain control over the entire planet. Nobody on planet Earth will be immune from this. Of course, we have the famous prophecy of 666, and the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, 16 through 18. It says, "And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the beast, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. What a very interesting prophecy. The whole planet is somehow wired in to this system, and if a person won't cooperate, they can neither buy nor sell. You know, it's interesting as you go out into public places, at a hotel, at a shopping mall, restaurant, look around at the people. What's everybody doing? They're all on these electronic gizmos. Texting, typing, surfing the internet, pushing buttons, making credit card transactions. Let me ask you something. Where does all that data go? Does it just disappear? No, it's all stored somewhere. I've done a little tiny research on this, at least in the United States. It's stored in a giant facility in, I believe it's Bluffdale, Utah. And so, just based on the websites I look at, the things I post on Facebook, tweets, messages to my wife, credit card patterns, an entire profile has already been generated on me. And I know it's been generated on me because I purchase a book on the internet and suddenly in my inbox I start getting emails saying, well, if you like this book, you're going to like this one over here. Well, how do they know that? Well, they don't know it, but the computer runs some sort of profile on me. Now, I like technology like you do. It makes our lives very convenient. The only thing I'm suggesting is what happens one day if this technology falls into the wrong hands. The system of surveillance and global governance is already in place, is it not? And isn't it interesting how they are moving us away from cash? I'm doing less and less with cash, and in fact, many times my wife will say, well, we take this $100 bill with you, and I'll go into a store with a $100 bill, and I can't buy anything because they don't have enough change to break the 100. I have to purchase everything with credit cards. And it's somewhat interesting that if you go today and you buy a new car, and you walk into the car dealership with two suitcases of cash, and you say, I want that car over there, at least in America, you're going to get a call from the FDA because maybe you're laundering money. The Department of Homeland Insecurity, as I call it. The IRS. Isn't it interesting that people that deal in cash are automatically looked at as suspicious? Why are they moving us away from cash? Well, if I'm dealing in cash, they can't track what I'm doing. But if I do everything electronically, a record, you see, is generated.